good afternoon.
Does that sound about right? It's lovely to be here this afternoon. Lisa and I have had quite a strange day, but a really nice day. Because of us representing the church on Churches Together, and Ian happened to be at work, this is our third service today. And we thought this is going to be quite a long day, but actually it hasn't. It's been absolutely a blessing. We've seen so many different types of worship. Brass band worship, songsters worship, songsters accompanied, not accompanied, different hymns. And it's been a blessing. But it was lovely to get here and be able to wave my arms about. I did feel a bit freer. But also we've heard some very good messages from our Christian brothers and sisters. And it's really nice to see how many different brothers and sisters we have in this town. I'd encourage you, if you've got a spare chance on a Sunday morning, pop into one of the other services, get to know some people. But what I'm actually here to talk about is our second talk in our Values Rather Than Visions series. Last week Tim told us about preparing the ground and getting the seed bed ready. This week I want to talk about sowing seeds. How many of you are gardeners? Several, yeah? Have you thought about how many different seeds there are? The different sizes, the different shapes. Some like cress and radishes come up in next to no time. Others like parsnips, you begin to think they're never going to appear. Some don't appear, this is true. Some seeds will lay in the ground for many years before they come through. It is kind of when the conditions are right. But we are called to be seed sowers. If we look at Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them with the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.'" The Great Commission. But to me, that's sowing seeds. How many different types of seed can we sow? Well, I started to think about my life and the seeds that had been sown from my early years of going to a Methodist Sunday school, from my mum then becoming a Christian, to coming to New Life as a non-Christian, and the lovely people who welcomed me and did so much praying to prepare my seed bed for those seeds to take root. And eventually they did. I became a Christian. So what seeds have I sown? What seeds do you guys sow? So I think the fact I became a Christian at 44 years old has meant the first seeds I sowed were what I'd call curiosity seeds. People who'd known me for a long while, when I said I'm a Christian, they're like, "He's what? Why? What's he talking about? Where did this come from?" And I remember being at work very soon after making a commitment to Christ. And I was working on a boardwalk with a colleague, and we started in the middle, and he was working one way and I was working the other, so we were back to back. And I don't know what made him say it, but he just said, "Oh, at least we ain't got any religious people in our team." And I said, "Well, I suppose you could say I am, although I don't consider I'm religious, but I've just become a Christian." He went, "Yeah, right." And because we're not looking at each other, I said, "No, I've become a Christian." "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And, "No, honestly, Simon, I've become a Christian." And this took this sort of backwards, forwards, before he eventually turned around, he went, "Oh, well, what does that mean?" So it is this kind of strange thing. You suddenly said something, you suddenly changed. And I think the second sort of seed you get are indeed seeds of change. Because once you become a Christian, you are different. And people notice. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." That's us. We're not the same. And people notice. I think the thing that follows that is what I would call caring seeds. We take more interest in the people around us. We ask how they are, but we ask how they really are. And we wait to find out. We listen to them. We support them. And have you thought that a lot of people have never really felt that anybody cared or wanted to listen to them until they met you or me or somebody like us? That's the caring seeds. Often this will lead to seeds of help. Just going out getting some shopping for someone, giving someone a lift to the doctor or the hospital, helping a neighbour, lift a fence panel in, anything, loads of things. But if it's somebody who's very alone with no support, that's something quite strange to them. It's a seed that you're sowing. This often leads to praying seeds. As we get bold enough to pray for family, friends, people around us, even getting bold enough to tell them. And I remember talking to one of the secretaries at work. Her dad was getting really worse with dementia, and her mum was struggling to cope. He was becoming quite aggressive. And so she talked through, and I kind of listened. And I said I'd pray. And that happened to be small group that night, so I got the whole group praying. And the next day I went back to work and I just said, "I hope you don't mind, Joe," I said, "but I got the whole small group praying last night." And she burst into tears. And I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you." And she said, "It's not that. Why would a group of people who don't know me care?" See, you're just sowing those seeds. Sometimes we get bold enough to ask people if we can pray with them. That's not always an easy one to start with, but we do. And in Philippians 4:6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." We're just following what our Heavenly Father is telling us to do. In John 1:14-13, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." It's a combination of what Tim was saying last week. Praying. But those prayers can lead to the seed as well. Prayers are answered. People are given a peace they don't understand. People are healed. And I've probably told you this before, but I prayed for somebody, not mentioning Barney's name, who had migraines, and he had about a week free of migraines, so my confidence was boosted. Sometime later, Barney was struggling again, so I prayed, and I prayed a really good prayer, and I was confident. And I just finished that, and this guy I'd never met before came up, and he said, "You prayed for his migraine, will you pray for mine?" So I did, and I thought, that was a rubbish prayer. And I saw Barney in the week, and I was really confident, and he said, "I'm still having migraines." And I was, "What? What's going on?" I didn't see the other guy for a few months. But when he did, he said, "You prayed to me." And I went, "Yeah, I know, that was a rubbish prayer." He said, I've had migraines since I was a child nearly every week. He said, "I went 5 weeks without having one after you prayed." And I was like, "It's nothing to do with me, that's God. It's God. Even how feeble you feel and how you fumble with your prayer, it's God. It's God that's doing it." And I'd say they're kingdom seeds. When people are prayed for and they're seeing healings and peace and other things. People we've prayed for have passed driving tests when they didn't think they would. They've had job offers they weren't expecting. They're kingdom seeds. Because this then leads to questions. How and why was the prayer answered? We get to tell them about Jesus. What he's done. What he wants to do. These are gospel seeds or Jesus seeds. It's one of the best things we can ever do. I know a lot of people have gone out, but who helped at Parent Cafe? You guys are awesome. Just think about how many of those sorts of seeds I've just said that you're sowing at Parent Cafe. There's another one I'm going to give you. Experience seeds. You're able to pass on the experience you've had as a parent or a grandparent to families who are struggling. God doesn't waste anything. Whatever we've been through, God will use it. He will put people into our path that we can use that experience. That's experience seeds. Who helps at Tots? I do occasionally. Again, you guys are amazing. You're building relationships, but you're sowing all those seeds. I think it's amazing that we've now got young parents who are coming to Tots who started off in Attic. Think of the seeds that have been sown. Who helped in Attic? You guys are awesome. Look at the seeds you're sowing again. And I mean, some of you hung out with some Attic kids for a week at New Day. And they got to hear the gospel message. Look at the seeds you're sowing. Who helps at Harvest? And does the Harvest runs? You guys are awesome. I was going to talk to the Harvest kids, but they've gone out, so I can't. But I'm really excited for them. When I came to this church and people started praying for me, I didn't realise how much prayer was going into preparing my seedbed. I know how much prayer is going into the Attic. I've got the Harvest kids and the Attic kids. I'm excited. I'm excited as to what God wants to do. If they fully open their hearts to Jesus, it's just amazing the plans he has for them. And you know, all those outreach groups I've just mentioned, they're either free of charge or just charge a very small fee. They provide either free food or not-for-profit sweets and treats. That's sowing some financial seeds. And in this current financial crisis, it's something really needed. Quiz and chips night. Feed the families for very little, a pound each. And they have a good night out. See, we can all do this. We can all do a little bit to help. Whether it's just popping something into the food bank or whether it is actually seeing a family in need and helping out. You're still sowing seeds. Now, as you know, we're part of RM. And it has churches all over Europe, links to churches worldwide. And there are opportunities, especially for our younger people, to go particularly anywhere in the world. There's various things like SENT, ID, where our young people could get to go and serve in a church for a year, practically anywhere. And you never know what's going to happen. Ask Martin. He went to serve in Serbia and came back having fallen in love with a Renner and now has a family. Rob and Maria are in the other room. They've just seen Lydia off, but I don't imagine Lydia expected she was going to be in Australia. You don't know what plans God has got. But just think, you could be sowing all sorts of seeds anywhere in the world. As I said, we're part of RM, and we're guided by some apostolic leaders, one of whom is Mike Betts from Lowestoft. And Mike has written a series of books, and the latest one is called Everyone a Witness. So the church has bought some copies of these, and I'm going to place them on the refreshments table. And what I'd say is they're not a big read, and it's not a how-to manual, but it's explaining where Mike is coming from. I'd say grab a copy, take it home, read it, bring it back, let somebody else read it. I read it this week and it is good. Now, Mike is not saying we're all out evangelists. We're not all Billy Grahams. And I'm not saying that either. But we are called to be witnesses. And I just think if you were up before a judge and you knew you were guilty of what you were charged for, what if that judge not only forgave you, he set you free, but then he adopted you into his family? Wouldn't you want to tell people? Because that's what's happened. Yes, we often find it easier to show Jesus in our lives than we do to tell people about him. But I think it's like everything else. The more you do it, the easier it gets. I remember an interview many years ago now with Lee Trevino, the golfer. And the guy interviewing him said, "You're a lucky golfer." He said, "Yeah, the more I practice, the luckier I get." In 1 Peter 3:15 it says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Always be ready to give an answer. The good thing is, we don't have to make up the answers. One of the most powerful things we can do is give our testimony. What Jesus has done for us, what Jesus is doing for us. I was again drawn back to the seed packets. If you look on the back of each packet of seeds, it gives you an optimum time for planting. It may be 1 month, it may be 2 or 3, depending on what that plant is. But it tells you the optimum time to sow. Well, we work on God's timing. And I believe that he doesn't send us to anyone he's not already having a conversation with. He sends us there in his timing. And we can perhaps think we need to see a result, that we need to speak to somebody and they instantly give their life to Christ. That doesn't necessarily work like that. Sometimes it might, but you might be one in a procession of 10 or 15 people sent to sow a seed to someone. You might be the 15th and that might be the last one. I don't know. But if God is sending you to talk to somebody, go and do it. And I'm sure I've told you this before. I was on the streets with Ian Willis and he just said, "Ask God who to pray for." And I saw this lady hobble past. I thought, "Oh, missed her, I should have prayed." Ian came to talk to me and she came hobbling back 5 minutes later. I said, "I've got to talk to her." And I rushed up, I explained who I was, what I was doing, and said, "Could I pray for you?" And she said, "No, I'm in a hurry." And I was absolutely crestfallen. I went back to Ian, I couldn't believe it. And he said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Well," she said, "No." He said, "Ask God." So I said, "God, what's going on? I'm sure you told me to ask." And he said, "I told you to ask. I didn't say she was going to say yes." That might take 3 or 4 other people before she says yes. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And I know we can feel weak and feeble and very daunted if we suddenly want to speak to someone. But in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." We might think we're stepping out feebly and fumbling, but he's leading us in triumphal procession. And we are spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. We don't do this alone. We ask God who to talk to, what to say. And the Holy Spirit is with us, and He gives us those words to say. And I'm finding this last few weeks, I have to be intentional. If I just get up, do my Bible reading, say a little nice prayer, and off I go on my day, nothing much happens. But if I say to God, okay, I'm going into North Horsham, is there anybody you want me to talk to? It's surprising how often it happens. But it happens effortlessly. We were walking through, I said to you, I prayed on the way in the other, not last week, the week before. I said, I prayed on the way in, we'd have somebody to talk to. And we're walking down the street, and this guy nearly jumped in our pockets. And he just wouldn't stop talking to us, would he? And we kind of got his story. And even though the whole time he was talking to us, he was supping from his bottle of vodka. He was talking about helping in church. He was talking about knowing Christ. And when we eventually had to go, he still nearly followed us into the car. And it was like, we didn't look for him or anything. He virtually literally tried to jump into our pockets. This week, we were helping in the Salvation Army Hall on Thursday, on the hot space and warm space. We walked in, I think it was quite hot. And we walked in, and there's a guy in the fantastic bright coloured jumper. Ian would have been proud of it. And so we sat down talking to him, and he was a guy that takes circus performance and things around schools, which is why he's in North Walsham. And he said, I don't know why I came in. He said, I just felt I had to. And we had an amazing conversation with him about the fact he'd been a Mason but not active recently. And you could see he was searching. And I said, well, do you feel as though there's something missing? And he said, yes. I said, well, I used to feel like that until I became a Christian. And it was another effortless conversation. Friday, I was in Wyndham, and it happened to be lunchtime, so I popped into a cafe, and there was a table with four chairs. So I thought, well, I'll just sit on this one. A little while later, a lady comes and says, do you mind if I join you? So I said, no, not at all. Sat down, we got talking, and she said, this is kind of the first Christmas I'm coming to terms with things. She said, last Christmas, my husband died just before, and although it was expected, it was still a shock. And she said, so this Christmas was being quite lonely, and we had another amazing conversation. And I pointed her towards Hope Church in Wyndham, and she's apparently taking her grandchildren there. But again, I just went in for some lunch. I wasn't looking for anyone, but I prayed that prayer in the morning. As I go about my business today, if there's anybody you want me to talk to, let it happen. And it did. And I didn't go with a whole load of, I know what I'm going to say. It just kind of unfolded. I've been to a lot of church services in the last 12 months, and I've heard a lot of people praying for a move of God. But what if God is waiting for the church to move? He wants to work with us. He doesn't want to do it on his own. So if the church is sitting waiting for him to do something, but we're not proactive, so what about if we actually step out and God works with us and through us? I'm going to give you a little challenge, folks. Just this week, see if it works. Ask God each day who he wants you to talk to. Pray that prayer in the morning. See what happens. No matter how nervous you get, just take that little step. If somebody comes across your path, step back and see what happens. You'll be sowing seeds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have called us to be seed sowers. And I thank you that we do feel nervous about it because we're not doing it in our strength. Because that wouldn't give you the glory, Heavenly Father. I thank you that you choose to use us. I thank you that if we trust you and ask you, you will put people across our paths. And I pray this week, Heavenly Father, that you will, that we will be bold enough to ask. And you will send people to us. You will give us the things to say. Or just to listen, whatever is needed, Heavenly Father. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.